soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting He passed, and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Joshua. I appreciate that. And what a blessing that is. I didn't know he could play the guitar, you know. I knew he could sing, so that's great. Let's go take the Word of God tonight. We will go to 1 Samuel chapter number 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. And tonight I want to bring you to a portion of Scripture where David is not yet the king, but God is preparing David to be the king. God, in a sense, sends David back to school. Now, I was glad when I graduated high school. I was even more glad when I graduated college, and even more glad when I graduated with my master's. I was glad. But God continues to put me in schooling. And tonight I want to preach on this subject, the school of loneliness. We're facing a time in our country unlike any other time in probably the last 100 years. And I think people are lonely. People are made to be lonely in many ways. The social distancing, I almost don't even like to hear that term anymore, you know? And the truth of the matter is, I believe there are people that are facing times of loneliness because they're not able to be at church, maybe not able to be with families because of health reasons, and we understand that. But God puts us in schooling to teach us some things. Here is David. David is a man of God, a man after God's own heart. And David has spent time in the palace with the king. King Saul wanted David to come and work with him. But Saul became so jealous of David. God's hand a blessing upon David's life. And the people began to praise David. And Saul wanted to kill him. You know the story of Saul's son, Jonathan. Jonathan, who loved David. They were the best of friends. And really, if you want to know what friendship is all about, you ought to study the life of David and Jonathan. They were true friends. And when Jonathan understood that it was determined in his daddy's heart to kill David, they had a meeting. Now, you know the story, the meeting, it was kind of a secret meeting. And they had an archer to shoot a long bow, and it was kind of a sign for David to know that there was no hope. David was going to have to run for his life. And the Bible says that Jonathan and David met in 1 Samuel chapter 20, and they wept together. I believe their weeping was weeping like none other. And the Bible says that David left alone. The end of 1 Samuel chapter 20. But let's pick it up in 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse number 1. Notice David's alone now. David is by himself. I think David wonders, God, what are you doing? But God is at work. 1 Samuel 21, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priests answered David and said, There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priests and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, but there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that. Give it to me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Now David here at the end of chapter 20 walks off into the wilderness alone. I think David thinks, Lord, what has happened and what is going on? And Saul has already tried to take the life of David. And here is David alone. Is God there? Oh, yes. Is God at work? Absolutely. Because God, in a sense, has sent David into the school of loneliness. Folks, tonight, there are things in life that you and I choose for ourselves, but there are many other things that God chooses for us. And it is when God chooses something for us, we need to understand that we can come to grips with it when we remove all secondary causes and we see God's hand at work in our lives. What about if God has chosen something for you? It's not something you would have chosen for yourself. It's not something you would have wanted for yourself, but God in His providential care chose it for you. You say, what do I do with this, Pastor? We'll remove all secondary causes and look for the hand of God. He's probably sent you back to school. The school of loneliness. You see, our God allows us to pass through periods of loneliness so that we might seek Him for all that we need in life. You know something, you can be in a crowded room but be lonely. You can be in a crowded church and yet be lonely. You can have people around you and people that need you, and yet you can still be lonely. And David is a lonely man. He's on the run. What do we find in David's life? You see, David is on his way to the throne. God is preparing his man. and God is working in his life. So guess what? God has to put him in school. The school of loneliness is preparing David to be the king that God wants him to be. Now we think about this place called Nob that David has come to. And there is a priest by the name of Ahimelech. By the way, there were 86 priests and their families who lived there in the city of Nob. And it was in Nob that David would speak to Ahimelech. And while he was there, as he was speaking to this priest, I believe David is discouraged. I believe David, in a sense, he is having a little bit of a lapse of faith. We find something about David's life. He's seeking a sword. And David before was seeking God rather than seeking a sword. And now David wants the sword of Goliath. And we'll find this in a little moment in Psalm chapter 34 where David is describing what is going on in his life. But Ahimelech here is trying to assist David. And David saw a man by the name of Doeg. Now later on we will find that those 86 priests and their families will lose their lives because of that meeting that David had that day. God prepared a school of loneliness for David. And maybe right now you are in a school of loneliness. Sometimes the classroom is a hospital room. Standing by the bed of someone that you love and know. Sometimes the classroom is your own home after everyone is gone and the children have left home. A school of loneliness. It could be the desertion of a friend. It may be where you report to your job and you find that the job is no longer there. It could be that you have found some news from the doctor. God has caused you to go to the school of loneliness. What do we learn in the school of loneliness? Number one, I want you to notice that we learn to think. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. Are we not thinking straight? I think many times Christians don't take the time to think. To think as God would have us to think. In fact, it's hard to think when our lives are so crowded by daily decisions and the daily routine of life. Sometimes we don't even think. We don't think about God. We don't think about what He is doing. And we don't think about what God has planned for our lives. Often we rise from sleep when we do the same things day in and day out, and we don't stop and think. Do we think about heaven? Do we think about hell? Do we think about eternity? Do we think about life and death? And do we think about how we are being used of the Lord? Could it be that God is bringing a time to our country so that people will have to stop and think, to think about life? I talked this morning about my grandfather and how that my grandfather came to know Christ. But can I tell you kind of how he came to know the Lord? God put him in a hospital. And while he was at the hospital, my dad said, I've tried to witness to my dad many times and witness to him and talk to him about the Lord. He wanted nothing to do with it. So my dad began to talk to some friends that he had. And he said, would you go up and see my dad, my grandfather, and would you pray with him and would you read the Bible to him? Because he can't get out of the hospital, you know. He's kind of confined there. And that's exactly what people did. Men went up there and they said, hey, his name was Freeman Samples. He said, Mr. Samples, I'm a friend of your son's and I just want to sit down with you and talk with you a little bit and I'm going to read the Bible. And really unusual, my papa said, well, that's fine. And they would read the Word of God and pray with my papa and leave. Another person would come and another day and another day and another day. I believe that God put my papa in a hospital room where it was lonely, where no one was there except people coming in and giving him the Word of God, where he had to think about death, to think about hell, to think about heaven, to think about eternity. God is always working in your life and in my life to where we think right about our lives. Are you thinking right? You see, the school of loneliness might be your concern over a wayward child. It might be dealing with some personal need in your life. But God is preparing a classroom for you. And in the classroom, I believe that the Lord is saying to you and me, I want you to go to the school of loneliness for a while. It's lonely there. And there are some lessons that I want you to learn. And by the way, in the school of loneliness, let me tell you what happens. That's where we meet our Heavenly Father. That's where we do business with God. We learn to think. You know something? It is hard to get people to slow down, is it not? I'm as guilty as anybody about this. There's so much to do at the church and so many people to tend to and so many families to check on and pray for. And I had a man on the phone today, was talking to him, and he's looking for a home church for his family, and they'll be moving into the area. And I was trying to talk about the church. And this afternoon, I was at a graduation for a young man that was in our Bible club at the Teens for Christ Club at Mechanicsburg. And he invited me to go. And I went over there this afternoon and met the family and seen some kids that go to our Bible club and all that. It was a great opportunity. In fact, let me say this to you. While I was there, the young man who just graduated high school, going to Ohio State University, he told me, he said, "Pastor Samples, can I tell you something?" I said, "Sure." He said, "You remember that message you preached on anger?" I said, "Yeah, I remember it." He said, "You know something, me and my dad, we've always had a tough time, just a tough time. Just at each other, yelling, all that." And he said that God used that message in my life. He said, "When after school that day that you preached it, I took it home and I sat down with my dad and we went over the lesson together, me and my dad." And he said, "God has helped us." That's been months ago. He said, "I've got it taped up in my room, you know, and God is helping. And my dad made a copy of it so he can have it in his room. And God is using it in our lives." You know something? God is constantly bringing us to His classroom, working in our lives. And what I was saying is, it's hard to get us to slow down. It's hard to get us to the point where we stop and we think. The Lord knows how to get our attention. And could it be in America that God is working to get our attention? And could it be that God is working to get your attention? Our God is able to get us all alone so that He is in the room with us. And it seems as if there is no one else in the world but Him. Have you ever been in a service before? And as you're sitting there, the Spirit of God begins to take the Word of God and to speak to your heart. And it almost seems as if there's nobody else in the building but you. That's God has got you alone. Oh, you can be in a congregation of this size and yet God has got you alone. He's got your attention. He's awakened something in your heart. And in the school of loneliness, we learn to think. Our God causes us to think about what we need from Him. You know something? In America right now, we're in a time of great uncertainty. It almost seems like it tries to get better and then it gets worse. And tries to get better and then it gets worse. And people are unsure of this and that. Lots of opinions going around and lots of different things. But folks, could it be that God is trying to get our attention to what we need from Him? Not what we can do for ourselves, not what we can manufacture for ourselves, but what we need from the Lord. The first lesson is we learn to think. God works to turn our thoughts toward Him. By the way, do you know that in a spirit revival is when our thoughts are turned to God and what God wants for us and what God desires for us. In the school of loneliness, we learn to think. Number two, in the school of loneliness, we learn the secret of strength. Would you take your Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12? And I want to show you this. I believe with all my heart that God is trying to show us that we can do nothing without Him. Nothing. In fact, here is David. Now, David is running for his life. This is the very beginning of David having to run for his life. And now David is at a time when I'm sure things seem very confusing to David. And here he is in the city of Nob, and Ahimelech is there. And David is, in a sense, he's trying to connive and scheme his way into this. Is that not what we try to do when we enter into trouble? Often when we're lonely through trials or struggles or pressures or heartache or sorrow, we try to figure a way out. We try to figure a way out. In a sense, we're like David. Hey, give me that sword of Goliath. There's none like that. And really, David, before David had stood there in the valley of Elah, and David had stood there with the power of God upon his life, David didn't seek a sword then, but now David is. And it's almost as if God is saying, David, you got some things to learn. You've got to learn some things, David, before I can put you on the throne. And by the way, if we stop learning as a child of God, we're in a heap of trouble. We must continue to grow and continue to learn. And God is trying to get our attention, first, to cause us to think, but secondly, to learn the secret of strength. Where is our strength found? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says in verse number 7. Would you start there? 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. We know the Apostle Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I believe that we are suffering today from a lack of strength as Christians. Christians don't seem to have strength. Why? Because they're trying to do it in their own strength. They're trying to resist sin and temptation in their own strength. They're trying to do the work of God in their own strength, and we cannot do it. Here Paul is saying that God gave him a thorn in the flesh, that thorn to buffet him, to remind Paul that his strength was not in him, but it was in Christ. Folks, God works his greatest accomplishments in the lives of his people in hours of their greatest weakness and in hours of tremendous difficulty and darkness, because his strength, God's strength in our life, is made perfect in our weakness. When we are too weak, when we recognize that we can do nothing without the Lord, when we recognize how much we need Him. But if you think, well, I've got this figured out, I can handle this, God's going to send you to a school of loneliness. Because there you learn to think, and there you learn the secret of strength. By the way, what makes us strong tonight? Does knowledge make us strong? No. Does physical ability make us strong? No. Does finances make us strong? No. By the way, we think of David. David was a man of great knowledge, a man of great ability, a man of great physical ability. But God said, David, I'm sorry, I need a stronger man than you are. David, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to send you to school to make you strong. But we would look at David, a man after God's own heart. Was he not strong? No, not yet. God was sending him to the school of loneliness. Men begin to know their weakness when they are all alone and they trust God for His strength. I remember God putting me at times when I was lonely. Now, I don't mean that I was not near my family, not near my wife or my children or with people that cared for me. But you know, you can be lonely and be in the midst of friends. You can be lonely and be with your family, and you can be lonely. And that is where God gets our attention. And He causes us, He teaching us to think, but He's showing us the secret of real spiritual strength. I want you to think about Abraham. You know something, in the hours of loneliness, that's when Abraham found his strength in the Lord. Look at Joseph when he went down to Egypt alone, separated from his family. I mean, listen, he had so much to deal with in his own heart and life. He was alone, but when he was alone, that's where he found the strength in Christ. Think about Joseph being cast into that dungeon alone, lied about, misrepresented. But yet in that dungeon, somehow, Joseph found strength in the Lord. And God built strength of character into Joseph's life in the school of loneliness. Think about Moses. God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. But Moses was not ready at 40 years of age to lead the children of Israel out. Guess what God did? God sent him to the backside of the desert. And there for 40 long years, Joseph was in the school of loneliness. Can I say this to you tonight? The thing that I do not want is the thing that often I need most. The thing that I flinch from is the thing that God knows that I need to make me strong. You know what we don't want? We don't want trouble. We don't want heartache. We don't want disappointment. We want smooth sailing. We want everything to go well. But it's in those times of loneliness that we learn to think about what God has created us to do and saved us to do. We think about what is real in life and what is valuable and what is eternal. But we also learn the source of our strength. Brethren, tonight, trouble born in the Spirit of Jesus Christ produces Christ-likeness. That's what Dr. Robertson said many years ago. In fact, folks, there is no painless way to follow Jesus Christ. If you're going to follow Him, there is no crossless Christianity. There is a cross to bear. There is sorrow. There is suffering. There is schools of loneliness. In fact, there are many things that God wants us to do in our lives and through our lives. And folks, He wants to build in us what we need to become, the Christians, the children of God that He desires for us to be. But you won't learn it unless you go to the school of loneliness. You know what? Many of us, I believe tonight, you're in the school. You are. We talk about school starting up a month from tomorrow, and the kids are not real excited about that. And I'll tell you this, I'm pretty excited about it. I have a principal this year, you know? And man, I'll tell you, that's going to be nice. It's still going to be a lot of work and all of that, and I'm very glad to be a part of it. But you know, the truth is, we talk about school and, oh, I don't want to go to school. Kids don't want to go to school. I know there's some that do like to go to school. God have mercy on them, all right? There's some out there. But for most of us, we dread the thought of school. But God puts us in school to teach us. Some of you right now, you might be in the school of loneliness. It might be lonely to think about what could happen in your life. Or maybe you've lost a friend and you're lonely. Maybe you've lost a loved one. You're lonely. Maybe you have uncertainty and you're lonely. Can I encourage you tonight to come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and to say to Him, Lord, I'm willing to submit to You, to yield to You, to surrender to You. I'm coming to You by faith, knowing that You've brought me here. And Lord, I want You to make me stronger. I want You to teach me how to think. And I want You to teach me that You're all that I need. You see, in the school of loneliness, we learn to think. We learn the secret of strength. But number three, and the last thing, we learn that we are never alone. Maybe that's the greatest lesson that we learn in the school of loneliness, that we are never alone. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul, who spoke in the book of Acts, and he talked about how that no man stood with him, but the Lord stood with him. You know something? At times when we think that everyone has forsaken us, God has never and has promised to never forsake you and me. Folks, we are never alone. We are never at a time in life when God is not with us. Now let's think about David just for a moment. He said to Ahimelech, he said, do you have any spears or any swords here? David had been lying, by the way, the whole time. If you read the story, David was not there on the king's business. David was lying about all of that. You see what he's doing? He's scheming. He's conniving. He's trying to work a way to protect himself. David thought, I want that sword of Goliath. That's what I need. That's what I need. I need some weapon. I need some way to defend myself. And if I get that weapon, I'm going to be all right. If I get that weapon, I'm going to be safe. But we almost think, that doesn't sound like the David. It doesn't sound like the David that stood in the valley of Elah And there, when Saul tried to get him to take his armor, David said, I don't need that because the Lord is going to take care of me. And you see, David is a time in his life when God has put him in school. You know something, when we read the Psalms, especially Psalm chapter 34, it will relate to David in his life at this time. And I want to show you this. Go back, if you would please, to Psalm chapter number 34. And I want to show you this in closing. Folks, by the way, God did not deliver David by the sword of Goliath. And he's not going to deliver David now. God delivered David the same way that he delivered him in the valley of Elah. He was delivered by the strength of the Lord. Often when things go wrong, I know what I start thinking. How can I work this out? How can I convince someone that, you know, hey, I'm going to use my influence. And I'm going to use my, you know, maybe friendship. And I'm going to use this to work things out. Let's be honest. We all like to manipulate. We all like to scheme and take care of things. And we just don't want to go to school. We're like David. David lied. David was trying to connive. I'll get the sword. That'll protect me. And I believe God said, David, I'm sorry. You're not strong yet. I'm going to send you to school. There, David, you're going to run for your life, but you're going to learn to think, David. David, you're going to learn the source of your strength. It's not in you. It's not in your ability. It's in me. You're going to learn that what you need is only found in me. And David, you're going to learn that you are never alone. Psalm 34, would you notice what the Bible says in verse number 1? David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. And then notice what he says here. David is reminiscing and he says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Can I ask you something tonight? Are you seeking the Lord right now? If you will, He will hear you. And He will deliver you from all your fears. He goes on to say, they looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried. I believe David is referring to himself. This poor man, you know what he's learned? He's learned he is poor. He has nothing of his own. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Folks, I want you to know something tonight. That's where God wants to bring all of us. It's to where we learn to faith our Heavenly Father. We go to Him in prayer. We trust in Him. We seek His face. You see, often we think that really maybe Christ is not all that we need. You say, Pastor, we would never say that, but we live that way. Dr. Vance Havener said, we sing Christ is all I need, but He is not really all we need until He is all that we have. And when He is all that we have, we find out that He is all that we need. You see, tonight the Lord wants us to realize that we are really never alone. And He wants us to trust Him and to depend upon Him. Folks, in the school of loneliness, the greatest lessons that you could learn is to learn to think about God, to think about His plan for your life, to think about His love, to think about His mercy, to think about His faithfulness, to think about His watchfulness, His care. We ought to think about that, but we're so busy that we just don't learn to think. And then God, in the school of loneliness, wants us to learn the source of our strength. He wants us to see that it's not our manipulation or our scheming, our way through things. It is us trusting Him and drawing nigh to the Lord. Look, I can attest tonight that the greatest times of my life have been what I thought were the worst times. And it was during those times when I had no one but Jesus to look to. That's when I grew. That's when I learned that He was the source of my strength. That's when God became more real to me than in any other times in life. because I had to trust Him. Guess what He did? He put me in the school of loneliness. And also we learn that we are never alone. You know, when I look back on those times when I thought, I am forsaken. I even thought I was forsaken of God. God, where are you? What are you doing? And yet, through all that, there was God working. There was God doing His work as only He could do it. Tonight, I don't know about you. Maybe right now, you've entered the school of loneliness. Maybe you feel like you're having to stay in summer school in the school of loneliness. Maybe you feel like it's year after year. But God has put you there out of love. He's put you there out of concern to teach you to think, to show you the source of your strength, and to show you that you are never alone. The school of loneliness. If you're there tonight, can I encourage you to draw nigh to the Lord, and He'll draw nigh to you? Can I encourage you in the school of loneliness to stop, to listen? You know what we have to do with some kids in school? We have to say, hey, stop. And listen. You look, you can't teach children if they don't listen. You can't teach them if they trying to rush ahead and do the schoolwork ahead of the teacher. They have to wait on the teacher. They have to listen to the teacher. They have to follow the teacher. And you know what we do and what I do sometimes? I get in the school of loneliness and I don't want to sit. I don't want to learn. I want to try to find my way to get out of the school. But God is there to teach us. Tonight, yield to Him. Many of you ought to come to this altar tonight and say, Lord, I'm there. And You brought me here. God chose it for you. You would have never chosen it for yourself. And we ought to say, Lord, I yield to You in the school of loneliness. But let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, help us tonight. Lord, I do not know who is enrolled in the school of loneliness this evening. But I do know that if we're not there, we will be there at some point. And God, will You help us this evening? Will You help me? Father, may we learn what You want us to learn. May we draw nigh to You as You would have us to draw nigh. Help us this evening. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I'm in the school of loneliness. I'm there. Would you lift your hand as a testimony and say, would you pray for me, Pastor? I'm in the school of loneliness. If that's you, would you raise your hand and hold it up high? I'm there, preacher. I'm there. How many would say tonight, Pastor, the Lord has dealt with me tonight. Something specific in my own heart. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Pastor. The Lord has dealt with me. Let's stand together, would you please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And let's finish this prayer. Father in heaven, I need You this evening. We all need You. Thank You that You are at work. Thank You that You do not leave us nor forsake us. And that, Father, if we're there in that school of loneliness, help us to learn what You want us to learn. Lord, help us to respond to You tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. Brother Stevenson's coming to lead us in hymn number 59. My faith looks up to Thee. What a great hymn. Let's sing it tonight as a song to the Lord. If God has dealt with you, would you leave your seat and come? Hymn number 59.
My faith looks up to Thee. Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine, now hear me when I pray. Take all my sin away. Oh, let me from this day. Strength to my fainting heart.
Well, I want to thank you for being here this evening. The Lord has given us a good day, and we praise Him for His faithfulness. And I trust that you'll have a great week. You pray for my family and I. We begin tomorrow vacation, and we're looking forward to that, being together. And I know we have ones on vacation tonight and others, and we'll get back together, and we'll look forward to that. Let's close in a word of prayer this evening. Father, we thank you that we can be here today, and we thank you for your love to us. Lord, would you lead us this week? And in those times of loneliness, Lord, help us to seek thy face, believing you and trusting in you, knowing that you, Lord, are at work. Thank you for Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your work. And Lord, give us safety and blessing throughout this week. May we witness and be a testimony for thee. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. You are dismissed.